Mark start off with today. Mark chapter number 16. And we'll read one verse here, verse number 19. And then we'll go into the book of Luke. And then we'll also go into the book of Acts this morning. So you pray for us as we look into the scriptures this morning. I won't preach on topic. I don't know that I've ever really settled in on this topic itself. I've preached a lot out of the scripture. But as far as settling in and preaching just one, I guess you'd say one topic here, I really haven't, I don't know of. But I do believe this is where the Lord wants us to go. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 19. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's word. Excuse me. You pray for us this morning. The Lord help us as we look into this. I can't preach nothing without Him. Amen. It's all about Him. And I want to just proclaim that before I even get into the message this morning and just say, boy, He's good. Amen. I want to preach this morning on a thought about the ascension. Just the ascension. We're coming in here before long, about another month, and Easter will be coming up, and Resurrection Sunday, as I like to call it, amen. And I don't know about you, but that's an exciting time for me, amen. You say, preacher, why is that exciting? Because that's the resurrection of my Savior, amen. And can I say one more time, I told you a minute ago, I was leading into the message. Can I say one more time, we don't serve a dead God, we serve a risen Savior. Amen. And if you don't serve a risen Savior, you're in trouble. Amen. You better find that Savior. You better find the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him become your Savior. And then if you'll do that, amen, you'll know that you're headed to a place called heaven and escaping a place called hell. Amen. And I thank God for that. But I've looked at the resurrection a lot. And I know a lot of times on Easter Sunday, we'll preach on the resurrection and we focus on that. And boy, I praise God for the resurrection. I do. I thank God for that. But as I began to study and think yesterday and this morning as well, early this morning, I began to look and think a little bit about the ascension. And God took me here to the book of Luke and just recently, sitting right there a minute ago, He reminded me in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 19. That there is one verse there, and I want to use this as a springboard to go into the book of Luke, but that the ascension is even, I believe, almost even better, amen, or even greater than the resurrection. And you say, well, preacher, why is that? Well, had He not ascended, you and I would not have the Holy Ghost. If He had stayed down here on this earth, listen, He rose again from the dead. The Bible says there's many places in there where after the resurrection, He actually appeared unto the disciples. One place, even there in the upper room, twice He came into the midst there of them, and they didn't even know He's there. He just basically appeared to them there. And then there's another place on the seashore there where He told them to come and dine and prepare them a meal there. I mean, I could give you place after place where Jesus appeared after the resurrection, after the resurrection, post-resurrection, and we know that He's alive today. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah right there. I know that He's alive. But if He'd have stayed here on this earth, boy, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have had the Holy Ghost. Amen. If He'd stayed here on earth, you know what would happen? He might have been over in the Middle East, but He'd never made it to America. Amen. He might have been on the West Coast. He'd never made it to North Carolina. He might have been down there on the Outer Banks, but He'd never made it over to McDowell County. He might not even have made it here, if you will. I'm glad to say today I serve a God that is ever present. Amen. Wherever we're at, amen. Bible says, I believe it was David there that said, if I make my bed in hell, He's there. If I ascend to the heavens, He's there. He said He's everywhere, amen. And that's all because He has ascended back to the Father. So I want to kind of point out this morning, and I want to kind of paint the picture that the ascension is so important, okay? We'll look at this. Notice with me verse number 19 in the book of Mark. The Bible says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's shouting ground. I don't know about you. You've been right up back. If you don't take that right there, shouting ground. Amen. But I know that my Savior came and died for me, took every stripe, every beat. I mean, every time He was hit, that was mine. Crown of thorns, that was mine. The nails in His hands, that was mine. And then He died, raised, listen, died completely dead, and then rose again the third day. But now, can I say it one more time? Now, 2,000 years later, He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me and you. That when I sin and when you sin, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. I say glory to God for that. Evidently, some of y'all ain't getting that. Amen. You're looking at me like a cat at a new gate. Listen, I'm glad he's alive today. And I'm glad not only is he alive, but he is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I got to read that scripture one more time, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. The Bible says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we love you today. God, we thank you for being so good to us. Now, Father, come help us just a little while to see or today, God, that we would be that you'd be pleased with. Oh, God, I pray you'd mind my tongue and you'd speak the words that needs to be heard here today. Lord, you know my frame. You, Lord, oh, Lord, I can do nothing without thee. I cannot utter a sound. I can't preach. I can't do anything. Lord, I can't even breathe without you. Lord, I need you today. Oh, God, I'm begging you to come give us fresh oil and fresh unction, Lord. I pray the power of God would fall down upon us today. Oh, God, thank you for every individual at church today. God, I pray you'd put into their heart that you'd have them to have. Oh, God, I pray you'd take and spread them a table, Lord, here I pray. And, oh, God, that they might slip their feet under that spiritual table here today. God, that they may feed from that table, Lord, and it might strengthen them and help them. God, I pray to go a little mile, go a little farther for thee, Lord, I pray. Oh, God, use us for your glory and your honor. Lord, I love you today. Thank you for being so good to us. Oh, if there be one that is just lost, they've never accepted you as their personal Savior. Or they may have been in church a long time, still lost. They may be very young, still lost. Oh, God, you know their heart. I pray, dear God, you touch them. Lord, I pray the power of God move upon them and save souls. Lord, I thank you again for what you've done, what you're going to do. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to point out in this scripture, and again in the book of Mark there, the book of Mark there, he mentions one verse in this about the ascension. Only one verse. If you go over into the book of Matthew, Matthew don't even mention the ascension. He just leaves them there, if you will, and don't even talk about the ascension. The book of John does the same thing. He don't mention anything about the ascension. He does mention about the resurrection, but he does not mention anything about the ascension there. But we find the man Luke there. If you notice with me in the book of Luke, chapter 24, turn there with me if you will. And this is where we'll kind of be dwelling upon Luke chapter 24. And also in Acts chapter number 1, we'll look a little bit about the ascension this morning. And if you remember the book of Luke there, we know that St. Luke wrote this book. And then we go over into the book of Acts, and the book of Acts was also written by the man Luke there. He's the one that also wrote that book. So when we began to look at this, I thought to myself, well, it's kind of odd that this man Luke, he's the one that wrote Acts and Luke, and yet he's the one that actually dwells on the ascension. He's actually the one that stops and feels like that it is important enough that he would take and write some features down or some things down about the ascension there in the end of the book of Luke and also in the book of Acts. I know we've all heard this statement, and I've made it myself. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician there. And maybe it was because that when he saw that bodily resurrected, if you will, that body resurrected there, and Jesus being alive after the fact, and then him taken up into glory, man, it just maybe amazed him. I don't know. I'm just doing some deductive reasoning here. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. The Bible don't say either way. So you can be wrong and I can be right. Say amen right there. I believe as we look at this, I believe I could have some deductive reasoning here and say, well, maybe Luke looked back and said, wow, I seen him ascending and taking up with a cloud there and ascended into the Father, if you will, or into the heavens there. Maybe it's just special. I believe that's a special time. And as I believe as we look at this, I believe you and I as a Christian this morning, I believe it ought to be a special time. Amen. I believe it ought to be something that we see and we ought to say, praise God, he has arisen, but praise God, he has ascended as well. Amen. Thank God for that. And can I say this? I look at this and I think to myself, I want to say it one more time.
I don't serve a dead God. I serve a risen Savior. I don't serve a dead God, but I serve an ascended Savior. Amen. He's not down here no more. They say, preacher, why is that so important? Well, if he's down here amongst us, he might be, if you will. He wouldn't be God. Amen. He wouldn't be the God that I serve. But thanks be to God, I know that he has resurrected and he has ascended both. And I know that he lives on the right hand of the Father. Amen. What a blessing. Thank God for that. Now, let me give you five things about the ascension that I believe is very, very important because it proves the ascension. Notice with me, if you will, first of all, the place of the ascension. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. We'll read there. Hold your finger back there in Luke. We'll get there in a minute. Luke, Acts chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses here. We'll read from down about verse number 4 on down. Verse number 4 in the book of Acts chapter 1. You find your place, say amen. All right, the Bible says here, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they to Jerusalem, from the Mount called Olive, and which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. I notice in this scripture something very important, I guess you'd say, is the place of the ascension. The place of the ascension. If you notice that last verse that I read to you there, the Bible says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. You say, oh, preacher, what is so important about a place? What is so important about this place there on Mount of Olives? Well, can I say to you, a place brings it to a true fact, okay? A place brings it, if you will, if in your mind as to where it actually happened. Let me ask you a question. Has the Bible said this in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts there? Had the Bible just said, and he arose and he ascended, then that would have not have nailed it down to a certain place. So do you think there could have been doubt brought upon that? I believe even in the scriptures there's a lot of scholars today and a lot of people today trying to bring doubt upon the parables that Jesus gave there, because in the parables sometimes there is no specific location. But I want to say to you this morning, I like Luke's writings. Amen. You say, preacher, why is that? Because he goes to a certain specific location and he says, it happened here, okay? That means you and I can go back to that place and know exactly that happens. Now, I know what you're saying in your mind. You're thinking, well, preacher, it says it in the Bible, so that means it's right. Well, I want to go a little farther than that. I want to say that Luke said it happened right here in Jerusalem, amen. It happened right here on the Mount of Olives, and that means it happened, amen. He put that in the Word of God so you and I could understand that it actually happened, amen. That's the place that he watched him go into the heavens. That's the place that he watched the glory cloud come around. That's the place that he seen him parted from him, if you will. That's the place that he knew his Savior was going into heaven. Now, I look at this and I think in my mind, wow, what a place. Well, what a place, amen. This Bible says there he was in Jerusalem. This is the place. Can I say your Savior was a Jew, amen? And we ought to thank God for the Jews. Somebody say amen right there. And we need to stick with the Jews, amen. When the day we turn our backs on the Jews, will be the day we go down. Amen. It'll be the day we go down. We need to understand today we need to stick by the Jews. Amen. This happened in Jerusalem. The Bible says it also happened on the Mount of Olives there. Oh, I like that place, the Mount of Olives. That's a whole other message in itself. It happened right there on the Mount of Olives. If you notice back in the book of Luke there, the Bible says in the book of Luke there that they led him out as far as Bethany there. So three different places that Luke actually wants you to understand this actually happened, okay? This is not just a fairy tale. This is not just something that is an imagination of somebody's mind, but this is something that actually happened, that he did ascend into heaven. Amen. Now listen, can I say this? He also bodily ascended, okay? By them being in this place, that meant he bodily ascended. Amen. You remember the scripture over there where he came to him in the upper room there, and the Bible says there that he told him, he said, look at me here. He said, handle me here. He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone. He said, but I have flesh and bone. Amen. He rose, arose bodily, but he also resurrected bodily because he had that body, that special body, amen, that glorified body, because he was God, okay? So the place is very, very important. The place brings it to a mindset of, I know this happened. I'm going to be honest with you right here. I can't imagine what the disciples seen. Because you read that book of Acts right there, and they've walked out there, and they've been talking with him, and they're standing there, and he's talking to them, and then all of a sudden, boy, he begins to rise. All of a sudden, he begins to go in the clouds. And the Bible says there's a cloud that come down and received. By the way, I think that was a glory cloud is what I think that was. That wasn't just a cloud like we see in the sky that brings the rain, but that was a glory cloud of heaven, the Shekinah glory cloud of God that came down and reached up and carried him back into heaven. But can you imagine standing there in that place and watching the Son of God, watching Jesus Christ ascend into heaven? Hey, that means he's God. Have you ever seen anybody else do that? I seen the other day on Facebook, and I don't say on Facebook much, but I seen the other day on Facebook this fella had a jetpack strapped to his back, had wings, and he was flying around, trying to fly around. And it kind of get my mind kind of went a little bit to this scripture here. He's a flying around, and I thought, well, he can get a little bit higher, but he ain't never went to the heavens. Amen. He never went up there where he God's at. Amen. Hey, listen. They take and they shoot men up in the space. They put them on rockets and they shoot them up there. They'll never get to where Jesus is at. Yes, amen out there. They'll never get to where Jesus is at. And I've got a place on this earth that I know from that place. He ascended back to the Father. He ascended back to God. And I know he sits there because the Word of God says so. So I've got a place that my Savior went to heaven. Amen. What a blessing to know that. You say, preacher, why is that such a blessing? That means I can go there. Amen. That means I can go there. Thank God. Amen. By the way, all these other gods that they serve, Allah, Confucius, whatever you want to put in there, all these cults and religions and the people that they follow, you know where they're at? They're still down here on the earth. Their bodies is in a grave somewhere. Amen. Their bodies are decaying in a grave. Their spirits may even be in hell. I don't know. But I'll say this to you. I serve a God that I know. Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father today. He's not down here. His tomb is empty. And he has ascended back to the Father for me. Amen. To make intercession for me. I don't know if it's helping anybody else, but it's helping me. Okay. So just leave me alone. I'm having a good time. Okay. We're preaching out of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, that he has ascended. And that place in Jerusalem there, that place of Bethany, that place of Mount of Olives, means that he has ascended today. I noticed the place. Let me give you number two very quickly here. Number two, I believe the parting. The parting. I want you to see the parting that happened. Notice, if you will, back in Luke, let's turn back there. Hold your finger in Acts. We'll get back over here in just a minute. Luke wrote two different books, so we got to look at both accounts, okay? Luke chapter number 24, and I'm going to read verses 49 down through 53. We haven't read it yet, so I'm going to read it, and then we'll look at the parting. The Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in your city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. There's the Bethany that I told you about. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen, he says. I like that last word there. Amen. In other words, Luke had evidently seen something. Luke had evidently wrote something down that he was excited about, and he just wanted to make sure that you seen that that was the end there, and said, amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I'm glad this morning I know I serve an ascended Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ain't no doubt in it. Amen. Thank God. I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I find the parting here. Notice with me in verse 51. The Bible says in verse 51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Parted from them. Now, I understand that we can look at this and we can think from the disciples' point of view here that they followed the disciples, or excuse me, they followed Jesus for a long time. They've walked with him, they've talked with him, they've prayed with him, they've followed him, they've went places where he's went. He has become, I believe we could say this, he's become their best friend. Would everybody agree with me there? Say amen. I believe he's become their best friend. I believe he's become an acquaintance that they love so dearly. So when they come to this place of Bethany on Mount of Olives there and they watch him leave them and ascend into heaven, there is a parting there. There's a separation there. Amen. If I was to ask Brother Mike there, I like to pick on him. If I was to ask Brother Mike to give me his billfold, it ain't happened yet. I thought I'd get it. But if I was to ask, he'd be parted from that. You see what I'm saying? He'd be parted from that. If you've got a coat on, you take that coat off, you're parted from that. Y'all parted from your house this morning. Amen. We're separate. You don't see it no more, okay? You've lost that, okay? You see where I'm saying with this? That parting there of the ascension from the disciples' point of view, probably a little bit disturbing. I'm going to be honest with you, probably a little bit disturbing there. As he began to ascend into the heavens and began to go into the clouds and disappear there. And they're thinking in their mind, where'd he go? What happened? Where'd he go? And the Bible says in the book of Acts, I read to you there, that there's two angels that came down. Two men come down there and spoke to him and said, what are you doing standing here gazing? Huh? They're just standing there looking up. They ain't Baptists. Baptists be looking down. But they're looking up. Somebody say amen right there. They're looking up. They're watching their Savior go out of sight, being parted from them, and from their fleshly eyes, they might say, well, man, I hate to see him go. I want to keep him down here. I hate to see him go. Oh, but Pentecost is coming. Oh, but the Holy Ghost is coming. You remember John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 over there where Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Amen. He ascended to the right hand of the Father that the Comforter could come down and stay with us. That parting, even though it may have been hard for them, even though it might have been pricking their heart and it was sad for them, oh, it helped us. Amen. Oh, it was expedient. Oh, it had to happen that he would go into the heavens, that he could send back the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I got to stop right here and say thank God for the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine living in this world without the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I can't imagine living 1 second without the Holy Ghost. Having one time, by the way, you couldn't pray if you didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he takes our groanings and utterings unto the Father. We can't even pray. We can't be blessed. We'll never know anything. You don't know anything about Jesus unless the Holy Ghost gives it to you. Amen. You read the scriptures, and what happens when you read those scriptures there? You take this precious old book and you open it up and you begin to dig into it and you learn something out of it. You know what it is? Give you that Holy Ghost. I mean, everything, church, everything that we've got is by the Holy Ghost. You're saved today by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost drawed you. The Holy Ghost reached out to you, searched you out, and drawed you, and you're saved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad today I can tell you I believe in eternal security. And I feel sorry for the folks that don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to argue it, okay? I'll take you to scriptures that backs it up in the Word of God, but I am not going to argue with it over you, okay? I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Amen. I believe in eternal security. I believe if you've bowed on your knees, you've cried out to God one day, and He saved your soul, then 50 years later, 100 years later, or even when you walk through the pearly gates, you will be saved. You can agree with me or disagree with me, amen. It's in the Word of God. Preacher, how does that happen? The Holy Ghost. How's that happen? The Holy Ghost, amen. We're sealed, amen. We're baptized into Him. I could go on, just preaching about the Holy Ghost. The greatest thing about the ascension is that He sent the Holy Ghost back, amen. So in that thought, and I'm still preaching on the parting, okay? Because without the parting, there'd have been no Holy Ghost. Without the parting, there would have been no Spirit that you and I received and that saved our soul and redeemed us and drawed us and all these things. We would not have it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. I don't know about you, but I like it when I come around here and the Holy Ghost goes moving. Last Sunday night, if you wasn't here, I feel sorry for you. God moved in this place in a magnificent way, and boy, I'm glad He did. Amen. The Holy Ghost come by and breathe by. Amen. You ever been in these times when you got kind of dark and you got kind of worried? You didn't know what was going on in your life, but you began to pray, and the Holy Ghost breathed by. Amen. He come by your way and helped you. Amen. Thank God I could go on and on. Amen. God, the Lord's feeding our soul this morning just about the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't intend to go all this far in the Holy Ghost, but I believe this. If you're going to understand the ascension and how important it was, you've got to understand that we received the Holy Ghost. We can't do nothing. I can't preach without the Holy Ghost. You can't sing without the Holy Ghost. You can't worship without the Holy Ghost. You can't put one foot in front of the other without the Holy Ghost, amen. And listen, everything we have is because of Him, amen. It's because of the Holy Ghost. Well, what's so special about the party? Because if it didn't, we wouldn't have had the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we've got it today, amen. Thank God for that. Listen, the Bible says, look at verse 51, and He was parted from them, but notice this, and carried up into heaven. I like this. And carried up into heaven. Anybody ever took a balloon? I know we have. We've done it one year, I think, here. Filled them full of helium, and put little messages in there. We did it one time up at Turkey Cove. We was up there. And you take them and you just turn them loose. And boy, they'll just keep it going. And they'll keep it going. And they'll keep it going. And they'll keep it going. And eventually they'll get to where they're just a little speck. And if you'll keep watching, you'll be like, do I see it or don't I? Do I see it or don't I? You keep looking, you keep watching. I believe that's the way it was with Jesus. When He ascended up, I believe it just kept going a little farther, and a little farther, and a little farther, and a little farther, and a little farther. And just kept watching it. But I believe it went a little more than that. I believe when the Bible says He was carried up into heaven, I believe that glory cloud come down, picked Him up, and received Him back. I don't believe it was just us standing here or watching it go, but I believe it was come down and just watching Him go back, watching Him ascend back into heaven. I don't know about you, but wow, what a sight. Wow, what a sight. You see where I'm going with this? It took that sight. It took Him going into the Father. It took Him ascending back that you and I could have the Holy Ghost. Wow, what a day. Wow, what a place. Wow, what a time. Wow, what a party. I'm glad for the parting, amen. I'm glad for that parting that happened there. That cloud received Him down there and received Him into heaven. Let me give you another one very quickly. Not on the place and the parting, but I like this. The power of the ascension. Notice with me, if you will, verse number 49 in the book of Luke there that I read to you. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. With power from on high. I know I use this illustration so many times, but Brother D.L. Moody wrote a book one time on secret power. We don't even know what power we have, church. I'm sorry this morning, I'm just going to say it this way, I'm going to be just as straight as I know to put it. We don't have a clue how much power we've got. We don't. We think, listen to me, we think that last Sunday night, the power of God moved through this place, and boy, I thank God for it. I really do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying bad, okay? But it wasn't even close to what God could do. We've seen folks healed from cancer, okay? A disease that is going to take their life. And because we prayed, we've watched folks all over this, listen, all over this congregation, we've watched folk be raised up because of that. We've watched and seen with our own eyes how God can reach out into a heart that is lost, headed for a place called hell. And God would draw them to an old-fashioned altar and them getting down on their knees and crying out by faith, crying out back to God. He would save their soul and change their life completely. Bring a drug addict or an alcoholic all the way back to being on a church pew, clean their lives up. Amen. We've seen it happen. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. We've seen it happen. We've seen God move. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to be honest with you. I've looked at this and I've thought a lot about this. The greatest manifestation, I guess I would say, of the Holy Ghost that you've ever seen is nothing but a drop in the bucket. That much compared to what he can do if we just let him have his will and his way. If we just turn loose and let him have his way and let's say, Lord, you just do what you want to do. You just move, you go, you work where you want to work. It'd be amazing what God could do in your life. It'd be amazing. I've heard story after story about missionaries that God would put their hands upon them and watch over them and take care of them there on the mission field. I heard a missionary one time tell about how that he was in a place of danger. And there's a group of church members on this side over here, this side of the sea, that began to pray and began to cry out to God. And those church members, as they gathered around the altar, if I remember correctly, those church members gathered around the altar. And a day or two later, there's a man come to him and said, Preacher, said, we were fixing to kill you. Said, I was amongst the crowd that was fixing to take your life. And said, I want to know who those folks were that was with you. I want to know where they were at. He said, they were gathered all around you. Said, instead of just you, said, there's probably 15 or 20 around you there. Said, where are they at? Where'd they go? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, there ain't nobody here but me. It's just me. You say, Preacher, you're telling me a fairy tale. No, listen, it happens, okay? That's God. That's when God's people get a hold of him in an old-fashioned altar. And even though we're across the seas, God can work over there, amen, and can move over there and protect him over there. That's God, okay? That's the Holy Ghost. We have this because of the Holy Ghost. That parting is so sweet. That parting is so great. But the parting, listen, only brings the power, amen? The parting brings that power that we need of the Holy Ghost. I want to see folks get saved in this church. Anybody else want to see that? Amen. I want to see the power of God move on this place. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I told the boys last Sunday, I said, I feel like we are at a threshold. I believe we're at a tilting point, okay? We're either going to go forward or we're going to go backwards. And it depends on what we allow the Holy Ghost to do in our lives as to which way we're going to go. If you want to grieve him like the Bible says and go back the other way, that's fine, okay? That's up to you. I'm not going to grieve him. I'm going to go forward, okay? I want to see the Holy Ghost move in our lives, in my life and in your life. I want to see God work, amen? That's what we need to see is the power of God. The parting brought the power. I'm glad we've got power, amen? And the Bible says we're endued with that power. I thank God for the power of God that we have. Now, the question is this, and I wished if we could just think about the power that God gives. Notice back in the book of Acts. Let me read scripture there with you. Acts chapter number 1 again. The Bible says, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power. I can't get that in my mind, that power that we have. If I was to tell Chad back there to flip the lights off, even though it's a little bit light outside, it'd get dark in here. There's no power. I made the statement, and y'all remember it, I guess it was probably last year, and there wasn't no electricity here. And I done the call them all, and I said, there's no power to church. And I said, oh, wait a minute here. Let me back up and say that in a different way. Amen. There's no electricity to church, okay? None of this physical electricity. I hope there's some electricity, spiritual electricity going on. Amen. Some spiritual power going on, okay? But that power only comes from the Holy Ghost. I hope you understand this morning, we can't do nothing without Him. Without the power that He has sent by that parting, by Him ascending into the heaven, and the power that He sent back, that's why the way we worship. That's the way we see folk get saved. That's the way we see God work and God move. That's where our blessings come from. There is nothing without the Holy Ghost. We preach and we talk about Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross, and I thank God for that. We talk about Him resurrecting again the third day on Easter. But I'm going to tell you here this morning, if He had not ascended into the heavens and that parting had not have happened, you and I would not have had the Holy Ghost, amen? And we would have been in a mess, because without the draw of the Holy Ghost, we'd have never been saved. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, we could never worship, we could never sing, I could not preach, we could do nothing without the power of God. Without that Holy Ghost, we can do nothing. I hope you're seeing how important it is. Now, I want to do this, and I think it's where the Lord, He told us to stop right here. I believe we need to see the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe we need to see the power that we have because of this ascension. And I hope my prayer to God is what I painted you this morning. I'll finish the message up tonight. We'll look at a couple other things tonight. But I hope my prayer to God is that I've showed you this morning how precious the power that we have is. Because without it, we can't do nothing. Can I go ahead and say this to you and listen to me very closely right here? I want everybody to listen to me, okay? We'll close here in just a second. I realize you lost an hour of sleep last night, so that's all right, okay? We'll move on, okay? I'll be short this morning. But listen, if you don't have the power of God and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot combat the devil. You cannot combat the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. So if you take the Holy Ghost out of you, then you're not greater than the devil. You are no match for the devil. Children, young people, you listen to me in school, you're no match for the devil. You're no match for that peer pressure. You're no match. Without the Holy Ghost that was given to you by Jesus ascending into the heavens, that's the only way you can combat the devil. Say amen right there. Adults, same way. On your job, you cannot combat the devil. I realize adults have the same peer pressure. Somebody will come by and say, hey, let's go drink one. Hey, come by, come on, let's go shoot some up. You better listen to me. You better stay away from that junk. And you cannot combat that. You cannot stay away from that without the Holy Ghost. And that only comes because of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have that power. I cannot, this is one of those messages kind of almost like preaching about the love of God as I lose words, because I cannot express to you how important it is and how serious it is that you have the power of God. That's the reason I said a minute ago when I started this message, again, don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling it, not by no means. We take Christmas and we look at the manger, we look at the baby there, praise God for it. We take Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and we see Him resurrecting, and boy, praise God for it. That's the only way you can have salvation. That's the only way. But when you look at that ascension and for everyday life and for getting us to heaven, if you will, that ascension is more important, I believe, than anything else, because without it, we have no Holy Ghost. Without it, we have nothing, amen, and we have no power. You better listen to me this morning. You better have the Holy Ghost, or you'll not combat the devil. The devil will overrun you. The devil will take and he'll carry you farther than you want to go. I'll promise you that. You better get the Holy Ghost. You better realize how precious he is. The ascension's important, church. It's important. Let's stand to your feet this morning. I sure do appreciate your attention. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please.